This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen, my friend. I feel like I have not seen you in ages.
We haven't seen each other in several weeks. I have to tell you, I was at a hair appointment and then I went and got myself a sandwich, brought it home, and then tried to quickly eat a sandwich on a hard roll, which I do not recommend. Like that level of chewing.
Now, a hard roll, I've heard that phrase. I don't know if I've had a hard roll and known it was a hard roll.
It's essentially a baguette, or right. It's just bread that has a serious crust on it. And that's not the kind of sandwich you want to like take big bites of and chew and swallow without actually chewing 30 times.
Right. Otherwise you get a esophageal spasm. It stays in your chest. It hurts. Even though you can breathe, the pain is there and it's real and it lasts for upwards of 10 minutes. That's my experience.
There's a bite issue where you get a throat scrape from the bread because it's already hard.
It's got an unappealing, there's no bread with a worse name than hard roll.
Yeah.
And then that is what it is.
It is. It's a difficult roll, literally a hard roll.
I know it's a little too late to have New Year's resolutions, but I'm never going to have a hard roll again.
Because of my pain?
Because of the experience you had today.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm doing it for you.
Thank you. My New Year's resolution I just tweeted this, but is a sincere realization. As I walked out of the deli where I bought the hard roll sandwich, I realized, take your time walking to the car. You don't have to walk fast. Like I always have this weird thing where I'm like, get to the car, open the door. Like I have a weird narrator in my head that like is like, pick up the pace. Don't have to do that.
Yeah, I sometimes when I'm walking, I hear that Benny Hill song, Hackety Sax. And it makes me walk too fast. And need I remind you of the time where I laughed right in their face. Someone had a bunch of ice and they were running. We've both told this story, but they dropped a bag of ice and then it turned into like a water slide and they slid on their belly on this bag of ice as it exploded. And I, of course, my first thought was like, oh no, are you okay, sir? But I did that while laughing and I believe pointing. But I cared.
I don't think that person could blame you for that reaction when they basically did physical comedy directly in front of you.
Their face, luckily, was right on the pavement and they couldn't see me. So lucky. Speaking of lucky.
Hey, perfect.
I'm very good at segues. If you listen, you know that already. We're very lucky to have today's guest.
It's true.
And I believe that I should introduce today's guest, because there was a time where I introduced them at, I was doing warm up. They'll remember this. I admitted it in the moment, but I was doing warm up. I can't remember what show it was, but I was barely getting by with a paid studio audience and ever wanted to try doing warm up that day. And I'm like, great, I'll do like 5 minutes and then bring you up. And I said, hey, everyone, my friend's going to come up here and do some warm up for you. Put your hands together for, I said, never. No, I just turned.
No.
Yeah, I just said never, Maynard. And I think they thought it was a joke, but I am now admitting in this moment, I was not joking. I totally messed up the name, and I have to get that out of the way, because guess what's not going to happen today? Never again is what I say. Ever.
Are you going to actually do the introduction?
Yes. With that out of the way, you've seen them at clubs and colleges throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hands together for Ever Maynard, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. Clubs and colleges throughout the nation.
You do so many of these clubs.
I think I remember.
Contiguous.
Yeah. Was that at the E building?
It was at the E building.
Yeah. That was a terrible time.
It wasn't it for all of us.
Yeah, my personal life. That was the least of my worries.
The day I was let go without a reason, I believe I made a lighthearted comment about Melissa Rivers. I don't know what it was, but that's the house that Joan Rivers built. And I understood. No one told me if that's why. That's what I have in my head. But I was relieved that day when I was let go. But I had known you from a couple shows prior to that. There is no excuse, though. It was a new relationship.
Let me just ask some questions that I'm positive the listener is wondering about. Was this, were you guys doing warm up for The Soup? Was this was it a pilot that we've never heard of?
It was actually Soup adjacent, because it was produced by Joel McHale. And it was
was that Michael Costa's show?
It was Michael Costa's show, which he was so good at. It was the only show where he had, I think there was three cameras, but he had to refer to all these monitors that had set up graphics. And I don't know if he had ever at this point had a show like that, like a multi-cam studio show with all these cues. There were so many monitors, and it was called the comment section. So he would go through the comments based on videos. And he never messed up. I was so, his job stressed me out, but
he was psychotically
good. It made my job. He was really good.
What the fuck is wrong with you? It's just jealous.
And do you remember the day, were you there the day when Joel McHale was the guest and he broke it to him in a very strange way that the show was going to be canceled?
I don't remember that,
but I was
a PA at that time. So I was there from 8 a.m. until 8 a.m. the next day. They were like, you're a PA, you don't get to leave.
Well, not, you were a PA until the day where you did your warm-up character, Never Maynard.
Let's ask, how was that experience taking over as the warm-up comic?
Yeah. You know, I don't remember it, but I also do remember that it was still a point in time where my comedy, we're all growing, we all evolve. But I think at that point, still, I had asymmetrical mullet and it was just, I can't imagine that it was good in front of a group of tourists. And I remember thinking, I'll impress these producers and this will be it. And it wasn't it.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. They were like,
I love the confidence.
Hey, you got to take your shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one was ever really watching, I don't think. They were just listening to whether or not the audience was being riled up. And I quickly learned you did that by throwing candy.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Why am I doing my jokes? Give me a bucket of candy and give them treats like horses wanting sugar cubes.
And it's also five people in there. Like everybody thinks it's a large studio audience. There's five people.
And you just you say tourists, but they were paid audience people that wanted to be actors, and a lot of them wanted to be comedians, so they could not give it up.
Some of them were drug addicts who just wanted their next fix. That's what my experience of paid audiences is these people are waiting to buy drugs with the money we're going to give them when they leave.
Oh wow. I bet if I paid more attention, I learned to not look at their faces.
Oh, yeah. I didn't look up.
But you're right.
That makes
perfect
sense.
Perfect for comedy.
You were, Ever, you were great when you did warm up. Yeah, I remember you enjoying it. I remember saying, that was terrific. And you were loose and had fun. And that's all they want.
Thank you so
to
much.
See. I know it's behind you and you don't care anymore.
Well, it feels good. But it feels good to be here. Sorry.
Sorry, I messed up your name.
It's fine.
In the most ridiculous way.
Joel McHale doesn't even remember me now. And that's your fault.
That was our chance with Joel. Gosh.
He was trying to find you on Facebook and he couldn't find me because he was like, never M, never me. Maybe I'm getting the last name wrong.
Never Namard.
I do want to say, just since we were talking about Michael Casa, he is the person that I think should be famous that isn't famous. And I know, I'm sure there's lots of comics like that we all know that you watch them and go, you have all the pieces that we've seen other people take all the way to the top. Yeah. Why isn't it you?
Well,
I really like
that
guy. He's so smart.
He's on Daily Show as a correspondent still, I think.
Oh, that's true. That's
so
right.
That's, I mean, when it comes to like, jobs you can have as a comedian that aren't a writing job. I think he's doing
okay.
He's working. But I guess he's as good as Joel McHale, is my opinion.
And he's an ex-tennis pro.
Oh, that's right.
he interviews tennis players now.
This episode is titled Michael Costa.
Is sponsored.
It's entitled the Michael Costa Never Maynard episode. How have you been? How's your new year?
I mean, things are good. Things are, you know, it's a new year, new me. quite literally. Well, okay. So here's some fun stuff. In 23 days, I'm having top surgery, which is exciting.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is exciting. That's great.
Started last year with a partner. Ended without. So what's up? Yeah, so New Year's felt great.
Yeah, you partied.
I partied in my house. I had good friends over. We watched fireworks. They left at a respectable time.
And then at midnight, consulted with the
oracles.
Oh, what's the plant you hang. That's how.
Are you okay?
Ridiculous. I am. Where you're supposed to kiss.
Mistletoe.
Why can I not think of that? Because it's no one talks about it except 80-year-olds.
I was going to guess
mistletoe
ferns.
Above
like,
a mirror.
About a ficus? What's happening?
I know. There's all kinds of plants you could have in your house.
I mean, you can hang really anything as a garland or a garnish.
It's true.
But mistletoe is the one that historically has put a lot of people in terrible situations at office parties. And I don't think you see it much anymore. And I think that's a good thing. My joke was going to be, if you're alone on New Year's, you hang it above a mirror. But you saw my clunky. It was just didn't work out. So
it's
I'm going to keep.
It's the Never Maynard curse.
You are never Maynarding all over this.
But all things, you know, all things considered, a great New Year. A good place in my life. How are y'all?
That's great. Can I ask one question? Do you know how long your recovery period will be after you get that surgery?
It'll be like a week of hell in a binder.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm not there. There are several different like incisions and then the surgeon, I guess my breast. I'm so sorry.
Special?
I said breast. I just wanted to say breast. They're not large enough to have drains. So she's like, I'm going to have you in and out within an hour and a half. I was like, okay. Like a mechanic.
Great.
I was like, great. She's done so many. She's like desensitized. She was like, oh yeah, these in and out, no drains. So I'll just be wrapped up in a lot of paint, but I'm excited because my mom will be there and to help me that first week. And then about a month, I'll just have like little robot arms. And then, yeah, you can't lift. You can't lift your arm.
You said robot arms.
Yeah. Like you can, I can only take them up to shoulder. I can't lift heavy.
Oh.
The scar tissue and like I can get big lines.
Oh, wow. You can't upset the
and I have to be scars. Careful with my nipples, otherwise they might fall off.
You should anyway.
I'm learning a lot,
especially now.
Yeah. Everyone should be careful with their nipples.
Please.
So they reattach the because sometimes people get the tattoos of nipples.
Yeah. But I'm not gonna do that. I said fix them the way you like. Somebody was like, where are you going to put them? And I was like, where they decide? I don't know. I didn't know I had a choice. Where?
On a slice of pizza, I mean, of course. What?
10 and 2. Like, 10 and 2 with the nipples, always.
I don't
always.
Know. Like, I was talking to some, like, a friend of a friend who had it. And they were like, well, I put my nipples off to the side. Where are you going to put yours? And I was like,
off to the
what
side?
What does that mean? And they're like,
Under the armpits?
Like a little bit more matte, like a little bit over here. So it looks more matte.
Right. Oh, like,
okay. Like pecs.
If they lift weights or like get pecs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, in preparation for getting yoked.
Yeah, I guess so. And I didn't know that. Maybe. I had to think about that. So that I'm going to be honest, I've done zero research because I'm too afraid of shit like this where I'm going to be like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go down like internet holes where there's like surgery's gone wrong or
yes.
And I don't want that. And I'll get it weird in my head and then I'll wake up and it'll happen. So,
right.
You know,
I think that's smart. I mean,
I'm going in blind.
I think
in and out within an hour.
Talking to people who have had the experience, at least you're having your eyes open to things, but it's not just willy-nilly whatever you see on the internet. Yeah. I think that's smart.
And there is a lot of like I feel like now the algorithm has figured out that I'm having top surgery. So it's feeding me a bunch of people that have had it. And I'm noticing that there's a lot of top surgery ad for silicone tape, a healing tape that you can buy for scars. But then these people are...
You're being marketed,
It'd be like, my scars feel great. Wow.
And they're providing you with new, like, do you even know the people that are being thrown your direction?
Nope. Wow.
You might be interested in befriending this person.
And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll try it.
It becomes like a dating app.
Hey, man.
High five.
Yeah.
A lot of high fives. You're like, I have to wait a month.
Yeah.
Can't do it yet.
Don't try to kiss me. What?
When you like say robot. There it is again. That damn garland.
Well, that's exciting.
Judy Mistletoe. Yeah, I'm excited. So I have actually been doing a lot of like chest exercises because when these come off, I do want to see pecs. I just want to be like ripped SpongeBob. Just top heavy.
Yeah. You have to like
little shorts, tall socks. Yeah. Yes.
It's like going to an orthodontist or something. They have to predict. You got to let them know ahead of time how ripped you're going to get.
Yeah, I'm going
to
tell them.
And then
obscenely ripped chest. Over.
Yeah, just in the Rock. You just keep showing them pictures of Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock.
I'm going to get so ripped. These scars are going to become collarbones.
Make it happen in and out within an hour and a half.
I want it fast and I want to look like SpongeBob.
I want it fast and I want it furious. Okay. I want the Rock.
The whole thing.
I want the Vin Diesel.
If you aren't angry the whole time you're working on me,
I want a refund.
Ever, I feel like I haven't seen you in truly like 10 years.
That's how I feel.
Yeah,
I've
missed you.
I've missed you too. I missed you too. I'm very earnest right now. I was like, yeah. Well, because I feel like Meltdown was such a very special place, and I think that was might have been one of the last times I saw you, or Dynasty.
Oh wow.
Or it was. I think we did a weird that downtown bookstore.
The last bookstore, yes.
Didn't we do a show there?
Yes. So I used to do a storytelling show there, which
that was your show.
Yeah, it was a weird show. I will give you that, because sometimes we would have an audience, and then sometimes we would just have a non-audience and then tourists taking photos. Right. Like, there's like a book cave.
Is this what's your problem that you're talking about?
Oh, I started this with with an ex-partner.
Oh, boy.
We moved to LA together and she and I started a storytelling show. And I actually forgot about it till you said that. That's how long it's been. I forgot it. No, I forgot about this.
I have an amazing ability. If there's something you don't want to talk about, I'll probably bring it up.
Bring it up. No, honestly, it's nice to be. I have forgotten for so long that I used to be engaged. And that was great.
We're bringing it all back.
Hey, bring it back. Never Maynard.
This is your life. Never Maynard. This is your life. I didn't mean weird show only in that it was in a bookstore with full lighting.
No, it was weird, dog. Yes, that's what I mean.
It was like, and there were people on the show that were not comics. Am I right about that?
You were
like, maybe somebody
did
a reading.
Yeah.
It was real.
Sometimes, like, you know, you never know who these people are going to be. When you're like, oh, like here's like a prose writer, or like, oh, you've written all these short stories that are so beautiful, and then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
This is gonna be tough.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. All right, you got 10 minutes. You know, you're just like, shit. So yeah, that show folded pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You filed chapter 13
bankruptcy.
Yeah. You have to go through all the
a lot of
for
steps.
Tax purposes.
Yeah, for tax.
Joel McHale came and told her in a weird way that they were doing this show,
and that I wasn't going to be engaged.
Yeah. Broke your relationship. Ended your show.
You're not getting married.
I'll try to unsuccessfully find you online later.
I totally forgot to tell you now. How Michael found out his show wasn't being renewed.
It is. I remember.
It
was such a weird choice.
Like on the show in front of the audience?
Yes. Mm-hmm. A show that he was producing. He thought, now's a good time to tell you this is one of your last episodes. I thought it was a very curious choice for such a tall, confident man.
Yeah, that's right.
But enough about Michael Costa again.
Truly, we can't go back to
him. He's a Capricorn, right?
He is such a Capricorn.
He's a Capricorn. He's you know, he's got that energy about him.
So have you been doing stand-up yet, ever?
I did. I feel like I didn't do it for a very long time. I don't know how y'all felt about Zoom shows, but it just made me more
we all
sad.
Felt the same.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We felt, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I hadn't done it, and then I've never been to New York, so I was like, you know, things we were getting boosted. It was like, we're in the clear. So I went to New York. I did the shows. I've never been to New York. I've never done shows in New York. And I was
it's exciting and fun.
Yeah, this is nice.
Did you like the audiences? And also, do you feel like they were listening a little more and maybe slightly smarter? No offense to anyone, including myself, that lives in Los Angeles.
That's how I felt. I was like, oh, this is like big Chicago. Because I started stand-up in Chicago where audiences went to shows because they love comedy and entertainment.
Yeah.
Same here. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's nice. That's a nice feeling again.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is a nice feeling. But then it's like, was I supposed to move here?
Yes.
And the answer is no. You know, I got to be at the beach. I'm such a surf head, you know.
Yeah, I'm there once a month. Every 4 months, I'm there once a month.
Just a tip. Every half year, and there once a month to dip my toes in and turn around and leave and drive 2 hours. It's way too cold.
Ooh, there's a needle. I'm not staying here.
So many needles.
Ever, how long did you stay in New York City?
A month.
Oh, wow. That's a nice
chunk of time.
It was so great. Yeah. And then the bars, they would like ask for your vax card and everybody was.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is nice. And people wore their masks on public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came here and it was just like in and out an hour tops, you know, just like breathing on our faces. It was, I will say I did go to Texas for the holidays and forget safe. It feels like 2019 and I was almost tricked.
I'm in Montana right now.
Okay. Yeah. How's that?
It's probably very similar. You're from, where are you from in Texas? It's like a,
Little River. I'm from like rural Texas.
Mm-hmm. But it has a hyphen. They told us, and I want to look at it now.
Little River Dash Academy. Can I send y'all a
Dash Academy. Academy? That's what threw me off. What is this academy?
Yeah, it's not one for learning. I'm gonna send. I don't know if y'all do video notes or like cliff notes in the descriptions or like links.
Yeah.
So one of the New Year's Eve activities was on just being on YouTube. My friend's husband was like, what do you like to watch on YouTube? And I was like, I don't. But then we ended up looking up my hometown and there's a woman on her phone. She's recording like this, not even like that, like the right way. And it's just like, we're here. We got a speeding ticket. Look at this shitty little run downtown. And she's like shit talking the town. But she also is like, it's like, hun, you live in the town over, like, you know, but it's the funniest video and it gives you a sense of where I grew up so perfectly. I'll send it to y'all.
Yeah. But okay. I want to see that.
There's a drag strip where they race different types of cars. And the big event over the summer is when they have race cars that have actual jet engines on top of them.
Yes.
What?
So,
but it's homemade.
I don't know how the fuck they made this. Or
nothing could go wrong
or
there.
How they got these jets. But they're jets.
That's signing up for an explosion. How is that not?
It's always an explosion. So loud. It's so loud. And it goes until 2 a.m. because there's no cops. Like there's no, it's just like a party at the drag strip every summer when the jet, it's like a big deal. Like the jet cars are coming into town. Like,
I bet the cops are competing in those races, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
They're part of it. There's no cops. I'm not kidding.
Really?
There are no cops. We grew up no cops. The fire department, volunteer, all went to jail because they swindled a bunch of money.
Because they were betting on the jet car races?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
My dad, when he was young, it was totally normal teenage activity to race for pinks. I guess pinks.
The pink slips, the titles for your car.
Yeah, with the title. I
race for pinks. I'm sorry. That's disgusting.
It was a simpler time.
Ever, is this your new yoked personality that you're practicing now?
Just toxic masculinity.
Immediately this going straight to that.
That was a very side nipple statement.
I'm gonna race you for a pink. Disgusting.
And wink. You got a wink at the
pink
end.
And a wink.
God. Ew. Ew. Stop it. Put your arms down.
I can't. They're on too stilts.
Yeah.
Too yoked.
Oh, yeah. Man. I want to. There was I went in LA. This neighbor of mine in Echo Park, he's in his 60s and he does something called skid plate racing. So it's like drifting, but it's because they actually put a metal plate under the back wheels. And so you're just watching these cars go in an oval and, sparks are flying and they're sliding sideways into each other. And then there was this thing called trailer racing where cars were carrying trailers and they race, but it's like a crash up derby and cars were smashing through trailers and boats and they'd smash through and there'd be like clothing. Like they didn't even clean the trailers of clothing before. And I've never laughed so hard.
Inside.
Yeah. There's just people. The whole audience, and I looked around and I'm like, oh, this looks like some NASCAR folks that I might not have much in common with. But no, everyone is there to laugh. I did not know I'd be laughing harder than any comedy show I've ever been to. But when you're listening to, and maybe people laugh at monster truck shows.
They've been in my.
This was near LA. It was 20 minutes away. That's what was so shocking. Yeah, it was like.
Was it Pomona?
I think it was Pomona Speedway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like going to a different, I've never felt less like I was in Los Angeles. And it was, I loved it so much that I'm like,
totally
I'm coming
go to
back.
That. Like, it was so fun. It would be so cathartic to watch cars intentionally crash into each other. It would be great.
And there were cops in it. They did this thing. There was a crash up derby thing where they were playing soccer with these cars. And the soccer ball was a giant sphere made of propane tanks welded together. But geometrically, it looked like a soccer ball, like every other tank was painted black. And they'd smash into it and dent the hell out of these cars and they would catch on fire. And the official saying whether or not that was a goal. The rules were very loose, but it was a local sheriff, like a brand. The sheriff was he didn't have anything else to do that night, but he was judging the soccer match. I laughed so hard. I've never laughed harder.
I mean, we all love mayhem.
I got to get there.
Right now, you have to leave now to get there.
Get yourself to Pomona.
Listeners. Book a ticket right now. Fill up the gas tank. We're going to Pomona.
Pomona Speedway.
We got to get out there.
And I'm not kidding. I can get us all free tickets through my friend.
Don't make promises you can't keep because I'm going to hit you up on that.
How many do you want? We'll do it right now. I'll call them.
I want to pay full price.
I want to support. Yeah. It's been a rough couple of years.
You know what?
Unless it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And that was, it isn't, it's surprisingly, I wanted to give them more.
Okay.
If you buy a hot dog or something, and we will, that's pretty pricey, but the tickets could have cost more. But yeah.
I like this as, let's earmark this mm-hmm. as a kind of post-surge.
Yes.
And when I say surge, I mean Omicron and your surgery. Mm-hmm. But this post all of that shit. Post it when everyone is like kind of we're clear and we're not so worried and whatever. And we're going to go and watch a demolition derby. How great.
Oh, my gosh.
Be?
And I'll wear a cut off shirt like real trash.
We'll all wear denim without sleeves.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to wear a hat that somehow references farting. And I'm going to one up this. Why not just be in it? If you have a good enough car, they let you be in some of these events. What if we recorded in the car while doing some demolition derby?
My God.
I'll wreck my Prius. I got nothing.
Let's do this thing. Or we could just record in the audience. It'll be like this podcast reunion there. And then it'll be so loud that no one will be able to hear what were our hilarious jokes because it'll just be demolition derby sounds.
Yeah. None of these cars had windows. Yeah. They were not soundproof vehicles.
The only words they hear is just Michael Costa every now and then between the crashes.
Yeah, every once in a while. Someone brings up America's sweetheart.
I think he's really funny.
Pro tennis.
Michael Costa.
Oh, God, I can't believe I brought up the tennis.
I've really enjoyed throughout this pandemic, this idea of making plans. I've started to realize how much I never do. Mm-hmm. I never try to. Like, one of the main reasons I can remember so well doing your show ever at the last bookstore is because I was like, oh, I'm out doing a thing in like a real place. That's the place itself is kind of like an event. Mm-hmm. And so in quarantine, I was always like, I need to do things like that more that are event like feelings. But I just don't know how to put in the effort to do the research. But like now that we've had all this time, it's like, oh, yeah, there's all these things you can just. It's like I've been making a list of like a demolition derby is absolutely really something incredible. I want to do.
Remember when everybody went to the Poppies?
Yes.
The Poppies.
I'd love to do that again.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are you saying the Poppies?
Yeah. Those big
like
fields.
Like the flowers? Sure.
And it was a big Instagram thing.
It was a moment.
I don't know about this.
And they were just gorgeous, big, huge, the wildflower bloom mm-hmm. in... Was it the kind of desert area?
Yeah, and then past the prison. You did have to drive past a prison. And it was a reality check.
Right. So it's kind of like going to a demolition derby for a minute.
An emotional demolition.
Yeah, and you're like, ooh.
Ooh. But then,
whoops.
Gratitude adjustment.
Yeah, it's like, look, this is beautiful. Yes. Right here in our own backyard. By the way, your hair looks phenomenal.
Mine, thank you.
Yeah.
It looks great.
I said the same thing. It was before the recording.
Thank you.
Chris.
Chris, should we take a look at your hair? Because Chris has had some crazy quarantine.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's actually pretty tame. It's just, it's kind of back.
It's medium.
Yeah. Just kind of a laboratory scientist type guy.
I like it. Also, are those your paintings back there? Who's painting at your house?
Good eye. Good eye.
Oh, my dad paints them.
Wow, beautiful.
My dad paints them.
My daddy. My daddy
my paints
them.
My daddy's a painter. Taught me to do the same.
He's a painter in and out within an hour. Come here, girl.
Come on, yeah, girl.
He doesn't spend a lot of time on them. One afternoon and done. Finish your thought joke.
No.
Please.
My Zoom timing is so off after our long Christmas break. I got good at the Zoom timing and I'm bad again.
It's not you. It's Zoom.
Oh, is it me? Never me.
It's our guest today.
Never happened
ever
before.
Ever mattered. Never, ever, ever.
Don't never joke
I'm the same. I'm so sorry. I hate repeating it because I don't know if people did that to you when you were a kid.
No, no.
Okay, good. I invented this hurtful thing. Yeah. Still got it.
Yeah. I'm going to let you. You got to take that off your shoulders, bud.
Yeah. I know. They were drifting in the nether.
Hand it over to the Lord.
Landed on my shoulders this afternoon.
I was just going to say, Chris brought me one of his dad's paintings as a gift.
Oh, wow.
And it is, I love it so much. It's a painting, this kind of like wide shot scene of Pike's Place in Seattle.
Yes. Yeah. The two behind us are also Pike's Place locations.
Really?
Wow.
Well, no, they are not. I've now taken a better look. They are both here in Missoula, Montana, cool. But they are, a farmer's market situation.
Wait, what is one a barn?
That's
the
famous Milwaukee train station.
Go get it.
The trains used to go in there and rotate on a big thing and turn around and go to the next town, like Butte, maybe, to bring some mining supplies.
Some pink slips over from the town.
Yeah, a lot of cars.
Get them pinks.
Bring them to the new owners who won them in a drunken race the evening before. It was 1955, and people were simple. Anyway, that's a painting of that.
That's okay. Cool.
There's my art lesson. You know, I do have a degree in art history, and it doesn't come up much, so there was just a taste.
Oh, really? Who's Lee Krasner? And then I hold the gun up. Go ahead.
prove it.
God, it cocks a lot, that gum.
Gangsters always turn the gun to the side, back of the hand up. You never see anybody go underhand.
Yeah, like volleyball style.
Underhand?
Yeah. Where's the wrist up, guys?
Yeah, like a Spider-Man, but with
Where's
a
my
45.
Wrist up, guys?
Wrist up. Where are you, Slay?
Literally, Slay. Come on, boys.
Come on, shoot.
Did you ask me about a painter named Ratner? Is that what you said?
Lee Krasner.
Krasner.
Lee Krasner. I
you just
should
fart.
Know.
What? You're like,
oh, God. Every time I say that name, I lose it.
Sickening freak.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I probably had to memorize a couple
pages. I didn't think you would. I don't know what is wrong with me. I'm so sorry. I'm turning into a bro and in the worst way.
It's good.
The energy's good.
I like it.
It's good. I like it aggressive.
It's fun for podcasts.
Be meaner to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so mean in public. I can't wait to be mean at a Target.
Yeah.
Just a lot of like punching your own hand.
Slapping a mannequin's ass. I can do it. I'm gay.
People are like, what?
No, you can't.
You're in the children's section.
Please, that's a child mannequin.
They need to learn. Ew, wait, not like that. I'm
early.
Just like kicking the mannequin. Also bad if it's in the kids. No kids. I just set shoes on fire. How's that?
Yeah, they're perfect.
That's
okay, there we
better.
Go. Get things got weird for a second. I didn't think it could get weirder, and then it did.
Nah, we backed right out of it. Yeah. Everything is repaired.
On this show, it can always get weirder.
Okay, great. Buckle up.
Yeah, I thought those are two of my favorite sayings from a comedian. Oh, it's going to get weirder. Buckle up.
Comedy clubs and colleges throughout the nation. I was like, really? I would love to at this point. Like, it's any money.
Oh my God. There's a comic, Jen Murphy, that 2 days ago got on a cruise ship to work for 10 days and tested positive. And they, I think she was vaccinated and boosted, so she just had sniffles, but she's positive. So they put her in the basement. Imagine this for 10 days. The basement room of a cruise ship.
Why not keep her in her own room?
They won't even let her have a key. She can't come and go. They bring food and knock on the door and she eats it and then slides the tray out. She's not allowed to leave the room. That's how serious quarantine is on a cruise ship. Can you imagine a bigger nightmare?
Sorry, that seems illegal.
Yes. I know,
I'm laughing out of shock.
That's not a solution. The solution is to stop having cruises.
Yeah, but
not to put people down into the galley decks or whatever, like the danger area.
It's
of the
jolly
ship.
Deck. She oddly is in a bad mood down in the jolly deck. But
I said galley decks.
I'm sorry. Galley.
It's
that
okay.
is what it is. I apologize. I'm going to call it the jolly deck from now on. Maybe they'll park the boat and say, okay, we shouldn't do this anymore. But in the meantime, 10 days in a windowless boat basement.
Yeah, that's rough.
Is she still getting paid?
I hope so.
It was just an Instagram post.
Okay.
But wow. I did comment, oh my God, that's terrible. Just to make her feel a little better.
Was it, oh my God, and then five dots, like a really long pause?
Yeah, I did a double ellipses of six. And that's terrible.
Go back just and to really comment, let it... just to clarify if she's getting paid, if you wouldn't mind.
I could. I'll
We're
ask
like,
right
do it
now.
Right now.
Prove go back it. On there and go, quick cue, and then list out a bunch of questions. Do they push the shrimp under the door? Is there a plate? How do they do it? Flat foods only?
She had video of them knocking... And she opened the door and grabbed the food. It didn't look good. Finished it. And then it showed her kicking it out with her foot back into the hallway. Not allowed a key. Doesn't have a key to her room.
That's insane. Also, you don't want to be down there, in my opinion. I could be wrong about this, actually, obviously. But do you want to be down there in like a windowless room when the boat starts a rocking? Like if they hit turbulent waters or whatever.
It sounds terrible. Fine.
Right? I mean, horrible.
It feels like there's a really good lawsuit on her hands where she could make a lot of money. I mean, yeah. I'm just thinking like, this seems like emotional torture and also unlawful imprisonment.
Yes.
I'm not a lawyer, but...
but I am a boat lawyer. And so...
I'm a maritime lawyer. Thank God it's finally coming into play.
It's finally relevant in my stand-up comedy career.
You're right. Because she's working. She didn't choose to go on a cruise for fun.
No,
there,
well,
I said
very
it.
Few people
I said
go.
The brand of boat.
Yeah.
Baby.
We're going to have to bleep that out.
Yeah, probably.
We don't want that heat.
No, we don't want that looming over us.
Heat?
Yeah. Oh, what? What do you
mean? I heard.
Come on.
Brings the heat.
There's no telling. There's no telling how far they'll go. If they're willing to put people in their boat basement.
You mean? And
stop it. I grew up, I mean, what am I saying? My parents met on a cruise. My dad was a purser. My mom was a nurse on Princess Cruises. So for my mom's.
Is that a affiliate?
No.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Bleep,
yes.
Bleep, bleep. Okay. Steven, all of this must be bleep.
So they met on a Princess Cruises.
They met on Princess Cruises. No one was being detained against their will, as far as we know. So on my mom's 60th birthday, we went and took a cruise to Alaska. And it was after day two, I was like, how does anyone do this? There are people that used to take like month to 3 month long cruises. Like, how is this possible? But the thing my sister and I started doing was they were playing bingo in one of the like theater rooms constantly. So we just started playing bingo like very seriously.
Yeah.
And
with the daubers. Did you get the professional daubers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And it was just like, it was that kind of suddenly things that normally you maybe wouldn't be that interested in became the most fun game of all time because you were stuck on a boat.
In Texas, there are bingo halls.
Yeah.
Competitive bingo halls. And they play
like hay on the floor,
20,
right?
20 like cards 20 at a time.
Cards. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds fun to me. I love a good bingo night. If you want to hear me be honest.
I love a good bingo night too. Pink slip in an hour and an hour. Yeah. What if I come out? This is my fear. Like, I've never been under anesthesia. By the way, that's the most expensive part of this whole operation. It's
really,
it's not the surgeon. It's the anesthesiologist is the
really.
Yes.
Why are they putting it in your spine all fancy like, style?
Butt me, daddy.
Daddy. There's like a guy in a mask and gloves like, excuse me?
I'm paying you for it.
Yeah. Get in there.
It's consensual. Knock me out. I think it's the person and maybe the drugs, but that is it's a weird honestly, the process for me has been very enlightening and very eye-opening. I forgot what we were talking about bingo, and then it got
yes.
you were gonna say, what if you go under anesthesia and
oh, and then I like wake up a bro and I'm just like, come here, sweet tits. And I'm just under drugs. What if that reveals my actual truth?
Yes.
Is this satire of a person I'm doing. It's the real me.
Yes. Yeah.
You just become a drunk Mel Gibson on the side of the PCH.
Yeah. We're like, what? We're at the demolition derby. Like, shit, why did we invite ever?
And I'm just like, beer me. And I've got the helmet with the straw. Kiss me in the butt. What? I'm suddenly a toddler. Just like butt and poo-poo. Yeah.
Please be careful. I hope that anesthesiologist knows what they're doing.
I want that to be the most expensive part. Whatever keeps you from waking up, that's everyone's fear, is that you're going to wake up during a surgery.
Yeah.
Make that be the most expensive part, the part that makes you not wake up.
I hope this person rolls up like in a Porsche and has like Oakleys and takes it off. And they're like, yep, I got to do about 5 minutes of work. And then I read a book, you know, like,
yes.
Oh, when I got my hip replaced, the anesthesiologist came in. That was the only one-on-one talk I had before surgery. And he was totally like a Tom Cruise guy. He wasn't wearing sunglasses, but
they make
he was
so
risky
much money.
Business.
They make so much money.
They make so much
yeah,
money.
Yeah, he was cool.
I had surgery once and they said, it was like they put the thing over my mouth. And then the guy said, did you say you were going on vacation in Hawaii? And I went, yes. And he goes, what island? And that was the last thing. Then I woke up in the hallway 3 hours later.
Well,
and
so you don't remember anything inside the brain at all?
Not at all.
Whoa.
Not at all. It was truly like going to sleep and waking up and it was all over and
right.
There was nothing doing the whole time.
I remember in that exact moment when I got my tonsils taken out as an adult because they were causing arthritis. I was so sick. And the guy, he looked like House, which was a good sign.
That's a very good feeling.
He's a loose cannon, but he figures out every bacterial disease. But he was he's like, comedy, what's that like? He was looking at my face as he was putting the Novocaine into my, and he hit a nerve in my arm, which was the worst pain ever. And it's because he was looking at me asking about comedy. He wasn't looking at my arm, and I'll never forget the pain and then falling asleep as I was feeling the worst pain ever. And yeah, so the whole time that was in my nerve, and I couldn't feel my thumb for a year, but it came back. It's fine. It's fine now.
Sounds like you got a lawsuit on your hand. Hire me, maritime lawyer, on the soil.
I totally did, probably.
Yes.
He was not looking at my arm. He vividly was looking at in my eyes while he put a needle in my arm. I'll never forget it.
The way Chris has his backward baseball hat on, he didn't put it back on normally, and now he looks like he's a member of the French Resistance, doesn't he?
Yes.
I was just like, what is this look? Why am I confused during this story?
Like, it does. Yes, it does have a bit of a beret look. There we go.
That's jaunty.
I mean, I shouldn't have a backwards hat on anyways.
Keep it on. Looks good.
Yeah, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Pomona style.
Mannequin ass.
Yes.
Where do you find all these mannequins?
But Ever starts you. Bringing a mannequin around with them everywhere they go.
Just checking around. What? Everyone is like, you need help.
This is super weird. You weren't like this before. What is this?
Anesthesiologist did it.
Permanent. It's permanent.
It's permanent.
It's like, doesn't it hurt your throat to talk like that?
No. Yeah, it's permanent.
Yep. It's all per the surgery. When do you get this done again?
January 28th.
Oh, that's so soon.
Yeah, it's very soon. There's so many. I mean, I'm glad that there are so many COVID tests involved, but it's like test before I fly out, test when I land, test 2 days before the operation. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it was, I feel very lucky about it because I took a moment and was like, oh, I actually do want this. And the surgeon that I wanted was, it's partly covered by insurance, but not 100%. And I can't imagine what it would be without whatever insurance. Cause I'm already having to pay like $25K up front, like, which is insane. Like the hospital's like, prepare 25. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Okay. And then that doesn't cover the surgeon. So anyways, for the surgeon, she accepts this insurance and this, I'll say like Crane, I think they're like Crane Connects. Anyways, shout out to Dr. Crane.
But
there's a year and a half wait list just to get a consultation. So you get a consultation and then you have to submit all this paperwork. And then it's 3 to 6 months after that, that they give you a date. And I was like, I might not have insurance. And like, you know, like I work in like I took a post-production job. I'm like, this is going to wrap up. I need this sooner. And they're like, well, just keep calling like once a month. So I did. And they're like, we got a cancellation. Can you do a Zoom consultation? So I woke up at like 5:30 our time, showed a woman my tits. I said, what
sure,
do you think?
Over Zoom.
On Zoom.
Consensual. And she was like, awesome, send us your insurance. And like, I had to get a letter from a therapist. And they're like, great, we'll see you in 60 days. So I do feel very lucky. Like, this could have been a 2-year wait.
Right. So you're going to someone that's like the best in the biz.
One of the best in the biz.
Definitely the fastest in the biz.
In and out. Get you in and out. It's very like the center is like they have a center in San Francisco and then one in Austin. It's like a gender. What do they call it? Gender confirmation. I don't know. I don't know all the
that
vocabulary
sounds right.
and the terminology. But like they have this great network and everybody that I've spoken to is like really like excited and kind and knowledgeable. And then the surgeon who's doing my operation is Dr. De Leon. And I looked at her work and I said, well, this is a nice chest. I was like, she's got some nice chest resumes, a resume of
is
nice.
Is that what the resume is?
I don't know. It's like a CV.
A portfolio
just
of
like
chests?
A series of torsos.
So I'm like, yeah, okay. But it is jarring when you're not, you have to take a photo of like your front and your back, your chest and then your back. And
yeah.
I have a smattering of tattoos, art history. I've got an M.C. Escher drawing.
I'm listening.
And then I've got Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night on my lower back. Sky only. No houses.
Sure. Or that gnarled tree that's there for no reason.
I don't want it.
That pointy ass stump.
Here's the thing. See this piece of paper? I printed it out at my school library. I didn't know how to do fit to page yet. So it's just a bottom rectangle of a piece of paper. And it must be like, I don't know, like 4 by like maybe 6. And like, I was like, no building. And I cut it off. I was like, I don't want the whole painting, just the sky. And the guy was like, are you sure? I was like, I'm 19. You should be telling me no.
So someone has to be the adult here.
So I have all these gross tattoos on my back. One is like I have several Christian tattoos. I'm not a Christian. I'm no longer a Christian. And one of them, I thought, oh, well, my friend Jessica and I have matching tattoos. I talked to her over the pandemic. She got it removed a year after we got it.
A year.
I was like,
and she's been pretending to be your friend this whole time.
Pretending to be a Christian.
She's pretending.
Hallelujah.
You should absolutely be required to alert anyone you get matching tattoos with if you get yours removed.
It's bad back here. And I always forget it until like I see a photo, and I had to like upload all these like Vax cards, insurance cards, photos of my ID. And the thing got jumbled. So when I opened up the app, it was like, is this the back of your insurance card? And it was my back. And I was like, oh! No, there's a Tin Man. I'm not kidding.
You have Vincent Van Gogh.
You have a Tin Man?
The what?
You have a Tin Man?
I have a Tin Man. No.
Does it say courage? Sorry. Heart.
Heart.
Yeah. I don't. What's it say?
Oh, it doesn't say anything. It's just a little Tin Man. I like it.
I actually like that tattoo. I haven't even seen it.
Tin Man's my favorite. But also, I didn't think about, like, I don't know how to the curves of my body. a curvy back. So a lot. Some of them, when my weight fluctuates, some of them just get a little lost. And, you know, so it's like a half a star, like the Tin Man's head, depending on my weight.
Wait, hold on, let me bend over.
Yeah. It's also like a disclaimer to a new lover.
At least be like kind of impulsive, kind of impetuous.
Sometimes you don't see it in the night. And then if someone's there in the morning, you got to say, you're going to see something a little shocking.
I've lived my life. You get to say to them. I've been around the block a time or two.
Look at my scars.
I have done clubs and colleges all over this country.
That whole sentence I've just written.
I've performed in front of Joel McHale.
Just in old English, that sentence on your upper back.
Yeah. I'm going to get, I used to have tits on my
right across this front.
Hey, tits used to be here. Like a souvenir shop.
And then two arrows. Yes, perfect. Yes.
Tits wanted. Hey, baby, I lost my tits. Can I get yours? What?
You're getting surgery to, it's like you're getting surgery to be problematic. Like that's really what you're.
If the surgery makes you keep Rist doing up. This character, I'm all for it. Please. Inquire within. Yeah. Oh, it's so fun. Such a fun character.
Could you imagine if I got top surgery and then I was stuck in the bottom of a boat?
To recover.
The irony. Imagine.
There's nothing fun about that.
Well, don't be nervous. It's going to go great. You have one of the best in the business working on you and a cocky, cool anesthesiologist. Just don't watch any version of any surgery online.
No.
I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm a comic because I know exactly what that guy was like. Yeah. I want to do comedy. That guy's doing comedy at Flappers right now. You know,
that's why I have nerve damage, is because he wanted to do an open mic.
Flappers.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's at Flaps right now. Flapping around.
He's at the Ice House.
He's at the Ice House.
Hurting up people's nerves in other ways with his words and his ideas.
This is my defense as your lawyer. He can't feel in his thumb because somebody wanted to perform at the Pasadena Ice House. He needed 20 people to do 5 minutes anyways. He's an out-of-town comic.
I rest my case.
May I approach the bench, Your Honor? You could actually, instead of letting anyone know you do comedy, you go right in there with your fill-in maritime lawyer, right on that employee list. No one will have one question. And no one will have any interest.
This won't be botched at all. I'll say, I'm a lawyer.
They'll be scared.
You know what? I'm going to ask you guys to please email me the day of so I don't forget it on the January 28th or maybe the 27th. So, because my operation is at 7:30 in the morning.
Everyone should pretend night
before,
to be a lawyer.
This will be a night before email.
Please email me to say I'm a lawyer. I want that to be the last words.
I'm going to email you and say you're a lawyer.
Before I go
it
under.
It might not register if I email you and say I'm a lawyer.
Yeah. I'm a lawyer.
You'll tell be like,
them,
what? Be like,
tell them
what's
you're a lawyer.
What's Chris talking about?
So it's like, I'm a lawyer. And I just want them to be like, oh no.
It'll come up right before that needle goes in.
The anesthesiologist with the frosted tips is like, huh? And then you're just out before he can ask another question. You're out.
This Tin Man?
A lawyer from Oz?
Lawyer from Oz. Vincent Van Lawyer.
No buildings. Also, the level of pressure that was on that tattoo artist to recreate a Vincent Van Gogh painting.
The little just like strokes.
I want to revisit them seeing your tattoo, and as you go to sleep, as you go under, because Vincent Van Lawyer over here is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And then the surgeon, they all high five, but they just wash their hands.
They're like,
so they gotta wash them again.
Yeah. Sorry to ask this question because this is such a burner, but have you ever talked about any of that stuff on stage? Like any of that stuff of not realizing that you had to send pictures of your naked back with tattoos?
No.
Before you did. I mean, you have a 30 minute chunk. You have a 30 minute chunk right now.
You know, luckily we recorded
them.
All this.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. I hope you knew that. I hope we have your permission.
Yeah,
we've been
recording this whole demolition derby.
I've been lonely.
Words.
I thought we were just chatting. I'm slapping just mannequin asses here. This isn't for fun. This isn't a wellness check.
We just want you to get it off my chest. Off your chest. Yeah, I did pause.
I will ask them about that. I'm going to ask the front desk. There's like 13 different emails from this center. There's like an insurance email, and then there's like a new patient. Oh, I'll ask the new patient because I'll make eye contact with them.
Yes.
Hey, what you think about my back pick?
See that back pick?
So pretty cool, right?
you like Vincent Van Gogh? Or?
Well, the surgery is going to go perfectly, and congratulations on
thank you
making
so much.
That decision. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yep. 2022.
That's
two
right.
S and 20.
Totally new you. It rhymes.
Minus two.
2022. It's a new you. Congratulations. It rhymes. Vincent Van Lawyer.
Do you need a lawyer? And it's like me on the side of like, the 101, you know, those ugly ass billboards.
Yep. You need a lawyer, and then it's just your back.
Back to, you know how like all the lawyers on the billboards are sort of like back to back, but it's like those pictures, so it looks like they look. Everyone is like, is this before and after? Nope, just lawyers back. This doesn't make any sense.
shit
Ever, you're hilarious.
Thank you. Y'all are fun. This has been fun.
If you ever get the chance to see Ever do stand up they're very good. I think that you're hilarious.
Oh, likewise.
You're loose.
I do too.
You're funny. You can be ridiculous.
This is the part where y'all tell me that I did not get the gig.
Yes, we're going a different direction.
All that being said, I'm sorry. We have someone else booked on this week's cruise ship.
Michael Costa got the job.
He's
in the galley basement now.
Big fan.
Sorry.
No matter where the Tin Man and his hat are on you, it works. We're into it. We had to go with Costa.
We'd love to see you go. We can't wait to see you skyrocket. We support you so much. Right now, the project isn't right for you. You're not right for the project. Anyway, this got too real, too quick.
We can all give this speech in the most realistic. We can all write this scene down to the last word.
We end every episode with realistic role play. Career-based.
Heartbreaking role play of whatever kind.
And suddenly I get thrown into a cruise.
So many bleeps.
Bleep me, daddy. Cruise me, daddy. I'm a lawyer.
Maybe that should be the last thing you say to the anesthesiologist. Yes. No matter what question you ask, you're like, countdown from 10. Cruise me, daddy. What? Uh-oh, there's already a problem.
And then I'm like, cruise me, daddy.
Cruise me. You're trying to fight through the drugs to make a hilarious
joke.
One
long thing of drool.
Only Chris and I understand the reference. You're in a different state, but still.
No, I want to be up above watching, like in that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, or like, what is it? Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. Yeah.
The galley?
Yes.
We're just studying. We're just here to study.
Well, do you have anything you want to plug? Yeah.
Clubs, colleges.
You know I got something I want to plug. Pink slip style. Pomona pink slip. Love.
Pomona pink slip, baby.
Honestly, I'm due. I'm sorry. Pomona pink slip is getting me. Whenever I do a monthly show at the Elysian now, which is all crowd work and riff.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's the one over in Frogtown, right?
Yeah. It's a really fun theater. Really nice. Her name is Kate. I haven't met her partner yet, but it just seems like a really, you know, when you perform and the audience is there for comedy, it feels like that. I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is nice.
That sounds great. There's always been shows in Frogtown. And I didn't know that's where the Elysian was. That's great.
It used to be some other weird theater next to the police academy.
Oh, I know exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always at the academy. That's where I do a lot of my range shooting.
Rista.
And I just go there to do push-ups in the yard and make full eye contact with cadets. And just go, what you looking at, Tackleberry? Sort of characters from, of course, you all know that.
The reason I know the Elysian is because I get my hair done in that neighborhood. And so I pulled up one time and it was right after it had opened recently. And I think it was like the upcoming shows were all really great people where I was like, what's happening over there? There was like a crowd on this street or whatever, where I'm like, oh my God, there's been like a cool comedy outbreak over here. Like I better start paying attention.
Cool. Yeah. The theater too is like letting me have a fundraiser show. Like they were like, do you want to do that? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, cool. So I encourage everybody to check out the Elysian.
Yeah. Is it right on Riverside?
Yeah. Right by that.
So that, someone's name that you wouldn't expect, like the George Hamilton Playhouse or something.
Yeah,
someone's
something
name
like
used
that.
To...
It used to be the Playhouse. And they used it was like knight's theme and like King Arthur theme inside. It was weird.
Oh,
it was a weird playhouse.
And Karen, did we drive past that 7 years ago? No, that was
the Lady Guinevere Playhouse or something like that.
That was where we were like, that's where kids are lost forever.
Yeah.
They think it's an amusement
head on down
park.
To Lady Guinevere's.
You'll never come back.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, if you remember that. Oh, that's great. That's right in my neighborhood. See you there. I'll be there.
See ya.
This would that be weird if I'm right up
wood,
front?
This surge goes down. But yeah, it's the last Friday of every month.
Surge.
Last Friday of every month. Yeah.
Surge.
This is a plug. Ever Maynard's show, the last Friday of every month at the Elysian Theater on Riverside Drive. / Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's both now. They're in the middle
either
of things.
Either or and.
Great. Perfect.
And but. It's called What's Your Problem, Sir?
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm just aggressive. What's your problem?
Oh, this is one of the attack the yeah, audience shows.
Yeah.
I love those.
Love those.
I'm just like, oh, look at this. Okay. We could keep, I feel like we're wrapping it up and I'm just like, okay, as soon as this Zoom closes, it's back to quiet.
It's hard to get off.
It is
Zooms.
Sometimes.
We have a good time.
But we have to. I hate to be the party pooper.
Chris is calling it.
Yeah. Ever, you're so funny. It's good to see you.
And yes, great
to see you out in the streets. And please don't smack my ass.
Don't hang a mistletoe over it.
Oh, not that again.
Then quit asking for it.
Yeah.
Ever Maynard, everyone. Thanks. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Engineered by Stephen Ray Morris.
Mixed by Ryo Baum.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DynAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Listen, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. There we go. I don't even try and do a car horn anymore.